One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
I live in Manitoba for context. I moved into this house about 2 years ago. At the time, my neighbors were two sisters and their boyfriends who shared the space. About 6 months after I moved in, they put their house up for sale, and a woman who is basically a slumlord bought it and now rents out rooms in the house on various booking websites. I could, without exaggeration, write a novel on the things the people over there have done that are undeniably illegal and just outright annoying. These instances range from stealing my packages, throwing things at my dog over our 6-foot fence, using my trash cans, to destroying my property in various ways. The more severe instances include the police regularly coming over, thinking that we are, in fact, the Airbnb, and looking for specific people. Regular screaming matches going on between renters, consistent, very illegal drug and alcohol use. And on top of everything else, downright ignorance from the owners. I am in contact with them, but they refuse to take responsibility for anything that occurs there. However, the most annoying factor is that they will not correct their address on booking websites, and people are constantly coming over thinking that our house is theirs. Today, the people staying once again stole a package full of Christmas presents. I went over to their house to confront them, and to get my package back. The renter at that point was clearly a woman with some serious mental health issues. She began by ignoring me and not consoling her screaming children, who I could hear in the background. After I persisted with my knocking, she proceeded to threaten me and tell me I need to get the F off her porch. I responded politely, asking her to return my package, and that I knew she had taken it due to my security cameras. She then replied with a threat to my well-being. The conversation ended up going south, so I contacted the owners again. I was armed with proof that they had stolen from me, but the owners did nothing, as I assumed. The owner basically tried to convince me into thinking that my package grew legs and walked away. I am beyond fed up with my neighbors, but unfortunately, I cannot move until the spring. The police are no help as they either do not come or do not care enough to help out. What can I do to even make myself feel better about this situation? I want to have my revenge, essentially. Okay, so for this story, I will refer to my friends as the bride, maid of honor, and niece because this was a bachelorette trip. So, it will be a year in March since my friends and I went to Chattanooga, Tennessee, to celebrate my childhood best friend's marriage. It was a beautiful house on the Tennessee River, with a very private and peaceful atmosphere. It was on a nature trail, so it felt very isolated, though it was close enough to the city for us to go out and have fun. Anyway, we all had a great time in the city, then came back and started a fire in the fire pit. We hung out until we all got tired and eventually went to bed. We all decided to bunk in the same room that had three double bunks and one full bed. It was a large room, and we thought we could all watch a movie together in there, but ended up all deciding we needed sleep to drive back the next day. As my friends are used to falling asleep early, I am not, so I was still wide awake. I got on my phone and started scrolling. I know, bad habit, but I had no other options of reading a book or anything. As I'm laying there, I get this feeling, and it's not a good feeling. I have had one paranormal experience before this, and it didn't make me feel scared. I just felt confused. This was different. I felt my hair stand up, like that feeling of something with ill intent was near me. I look up at the other bunks. My friends look fine. So, I continue scrolling. Then I get the feeling again. I look up, and this time, I look towards the full-size bed where the bride and her little niece, who tagged along, were, and I see a dark figure, head bent, looking down at the niece. My heart stopped. I could not move. I kept thinking to myself, it's just a shadow from the stairway light coming into the room. I look down at my phone and get the courage to move my thumbs to text my boyfriend how scared I was, which didn't help, considering he's not a believer in anything of that nature, so he just says, "You're just seeing things." After this, I look up, the figure is gone, which did not make me feel better, only worse, because it only confirmed what I saw was not, in fact, a shadow from the light in the stairway. So, I jumped from my bunk and bolted up the stairs and crashed on the couch. I felt like a small child who just watched a horror movie. I kept hearing what sounded like creaking from the stairs. I thought of the old phrase, "It's just the house settling," to calm myself. Then called my boyfriend, and he tucked me down, and I thought he's probably right, but I was still shaken up. Eventually, I fell asleep around 4 a.m. when the creaking stopped, but woke up around 6 and got the courage to go downstairs to get into my bag for clothes. A few minutes later, the maid of honor comes up, and she looks confused and kind of freaked out, then says, "Hey, did the bride come up here at all?" I said. "When?" "Because I only slept 2 hours, and I've been up since 6. She then says, "Well, I mean about that time, I thought I saw her go up the stairs." I said, "No, she didn't come up here." She says, "Well, I know I saw someone go up the stairs." Her face was white, and I said, "Did you check the bed?" She then goes back down and looks and says in confusion, "She's in bed." And so I just stood in confusion and said, "Well, what time did you say you saw her again?" And she said, "Well, only a couple of minutes ago. It's just 6:05. And I said, "Maybe you just heard me. I have been up here since last night." And she goes, "Well, I thought I saw someone standing between their suitcases and the bed over her niece." That's when my heart dropped, and she knew. I didn't have to say anything. My face said it all. She knew I saw it too. Needless to say, we were happy to get out and not investigate. I felt guilty I didn't stay downstairs with them to make sure they were okay after she confirmed what I saw. However, I was convinced that it was just my anxiety, and my boyfriend being very skeptical made me think maybe I was overreacting. But the look on my friend's face of pure confusion and fear confirmed it. I don't know if it's related, but a few months later, I learned one of the supposed most haunted places in Tennessee, Hale's Bar, is located just 2 miles on the river from this location. Also, there was this really old cabin from the 1800s. They had decorated for looks on the property, and it definitely had some weird vibes too. It didn't help that they had these old pictures inside of it of the owners. I wish I remembered the names so I could see if they had any correlation to the Hales Bar Marina. My boyfriend and I were on vacation in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, staying at an Airbnb on the St. Mary's River in Sault Ste. Marie. It was an older 3-bedroom house with its own nice private beach. We had the entire place to ourselves for the night. We started off the night by leaving to get some food, playing Monopoly, going swimming, etc. Nothing out of the ordinary occurred. As soon as it got dark, we went out to smoke some weed before we ate the food we had just bought. We went back in, had our dinner, and went to the master bedroom. We were both on our phones when the light on the ceiling fan started to flick on and off. I said that the house was old and suggested we just turn the light off. He said no, and that we should keep it on. This is when he first told me that he had a bad feeling, and I said he was just paranoid from the weed. I walked out into the hallway to the living room to see if I could sense the energy he was feeling, and he followed me. I felt as if nothing was wrong and went back to the bedroom. He stayed in the hallway, staring at a closed bedroom door. I asked why he was staring at it, and he said, "I swear I just saw the light in this room turn on and off." I was more concerned about a person being in this house, and I said we needed to go in there and look. We walked in, checked under the bed and in the closet, and nobody was in there. He became really startled, and I was confused because I was still really high and had zoned out. He said that the dresser had just been shaken really aggressively against the wall. I was skeptical since I hadn't seen it myself, but I said I believed him and we left the room. After we were back in the living room, he said, "I have a really bad feeling like something bad is going to happen if we stay here. We need to get out of here." We had nowhere to go until the next day, and I didn't want to leave, but I agreed that we'd go for a drive, come back after, and get our things and leave if he still felt the same way. After we finished driving, we went back into the house, and he still had this bad feeling. I still didn't want to go, but I agreed that we'd get our things and leave. We walked into the master bedroom first, and the light switch for the ceiling fan and light was off. We had left it on. My boyfriend said, "This is exactly what I'm talking about. Look at the fan." It was moving slowly in a circle, and as soon as I looked up, it began moving faster, but inconsistently, as if someone was batting at it. The light began to flick on and off again, as well. Mind you, the switch is still off on the wall. This was enough for me to start freaking out, so we grabbed everything out of there in the master bathroom and got the hell out of that room. Next, we went to the kitchen to do our dishes, since it was a requirement for checkout. My boyfriend reached into a drawer, pulled out the biggest knife in it, and turned his head to look at me. He said nothing, and put the knife down and closed the drawer. I assumed he was trying to show me that it was there in case there really was another person in the house. He started visibly freaking out, and I asked what was wrong. He said, "I'll tell you in the car." We packed up, locked the house behind us, and hit the road. I asked him what he had been so afraid about, and he said, "That thing was talking to me the entire time. It got control of me when I was reaching for that knife, and it told me to stab you. I had to stop myself and fight it." He continued on, saying that he had been listening to these things the whole time, such as "hit her" and "pick up that chair and throw it at her." Hearing this made me sick to my stomach. We ended up sleeping in my car at a rest stop, and neither of us slept well at all, with this lingering awful feeling. Nothing has really happened to us since, so I don't think it has attached to us or anything, but I just can't fathom how it gained that much control over him in such little time. I've thought that it was because we were high, which made him more vulnerable. If anyone has their 2 cents to give on this, I'd love to hear it. Otherwise, thanks for reading. I left the Airbnb at 1:45 a.m. this morning, July 31. I was disturbed by paranormal phenomena that were not disclosed in the booking. Phenomena included fan light dimming and illuminating, sheets being pulled off of me, the sensation of a weighted presence on the bed settling next to me, and the sheet being pulled and pressed across my face with force. Stuff that keeps you up at night. I should have known when I checked in and the room looked okay, but there was an eerie silence, so quiet that I did not hear a bird. And this was a residential area. But being on vacay, I was so happy for the quiet. The oppressive feeling and phenomena kept me from drifting off, and the hypnagogic visuals were fecked up. So I left, and then I reached out at 4:30 a.m. to the host to let him know, "Dude, your place is haunted. Airbnb might like to consider a haunting clause." I did not choose to reserve a haunted room. I was choosing the place to sleep. There's multiple instances where I came in contact, so try and read through to the end of this long story. A little background on the house I stayed in. The house was built in 1929 for the workers who worked for the copper mine in small town, northern Arizona. It's a very historic town, but only has a handful of people in it. I like the town because it's so empty. The house is cute and small, and is basically a square house with four rooms that all connect the dining room, bedroom, living room, and kitchen. I was here on business. So on the first night, I was watching TV before bed in the living room, and all of a sudden, the window to my right starts rattling as if someone was shaking it. It felt like 5-10 seconds, so pretty long when you're startled and scared. I was staring at the curtain as the window was shaking behind it, but froze up to go check it out. I know it wasn't the wind because it was extremely windy all day, and that was the first time any windows made any noise at all. It was extremely loud and consistent the whole time it was shaking. It was only this one window. So I got super scared and froze and didn't move for a long while. I was looking around and really can't explain it, but I was seeing stuff move like air was moving, but only in the dining room. There was air moving in all sorts of directions in there. I saw things in the corner of my eyes, but when I turned, nothing was there. I figure I was just being paranoid, and I probably was. It was just a very sensitive environment. I knew I had to sleep there that night, so I tried to brush it off, but was obviously still scared a little bit. I finally got the courage to get up and go to the bed, and I called my boyfriend to keep me company. I had to wrap around through the bedroom to the kitchen to dining room to lock the back door. There was no way I was setting foot in that room, so I took the long way around. I honestly was too scared to even check the back door in the dining room. I checked from a distance to see if the door was locked, and it looked like it was, so I just let it be. I convinced myself I locked the door right after my run. Spoiler alert, it wasn't locked. I left all the lights on for bed and honestly didn't move my eyes off my phone until I passed out. I woke up the next morning and everything was fine, and I felt like I freaked myself out from it. Just being an old house and stuff. I came back the next day after work around 5:30 and started making dinner. I sat down in the dining room to eat, and as a joke I was taking a Snapchat photo of the kitchen and began typing, "So the Airbnb mad is haunted." Right after I took the photo, Snapchat thought I took a picture of someone's Snapcode, and that automatic pop-up or noise happened to add friend on Snapchat. I was typing so fast I didn't see what it said. All I know is I hit the button and it added whoever popped up on the screen. I start cracking up like, I just added a literal ghost on Snapchat, lol. The fact that Snapchat recognized something was enough to make me freak out a little bit. Then I remembered how easily spirits can mess with technology and was convinced something was messing with me. So I posted to my
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Snapstory about what was happening. When I was taking pictures in the dining room, the window specifically, the camera was glitching out slightly like my phone was seeing what I saw the night before, that the air was moving. To the right of the window or curtain, it was very noticeably vibrating or swaying back and forth on my camera. Honestly, at this point, I thought it was cool and tried not to freak myself out. I just took the photo of the window and went about eating my dinner. I texted my friends what was happening, and then it just started getting really weird. At this point, I feel like the spirit noticed I acknowledged it enough to the point where it actually began to mess with me, and it all just went downhill from there. I started to feel heavy, and as time went on, I realized I probably wasn't going to feel comfortable in there once the sun went down, so I decided to pack my bags and find somewhere else to stay. I felt like the spirit knew what I was doing, so they turned up the energy in the house. As soon as I decided to myself I wasn't going to stay any longer, I felt paranoid and heavy, and I feel like my eyes were convulsing in a way and seeing energy move like the night before. I can't really explain it. I felt like it could have been a house full of people, but it was just me. It felt really loud in my head, and I turned on music because I didn't want to hear unusual sounds and get freaked out. The bedroom was dark because I had all the curtains shut, but I was too scared to go into the dark room. I took my phone and tried to turn on my flashlight. The flashlight button was blacked out, like when your phone is dying, and it won't let you turn it on, and again I realized it was messing with my phone again. I turned on the bathroom lights to add some light in the bedroom to run to the light switch in the bedroom. I snapped the whole process of me packing and opening doors case I was too scared. I took more pictures, but didn't notice anything weird about them like I noticed in the dining room. But then again, I stopped looking for more things to freak me out. So I packed my suitcase and put it on the floor next to me and started packing some other items, and all of a sudden my luggage tag starts to ruffle as if someone was attempting to grab my suitcase handle. I was literally watching my luggage tag jiggle and move, and I could also hear it, so I knew I wasn't seeing things in my head. I start laughing a little bit, like really? This shit is real now. Whatever doubts I had about me just being paranoid before this moment ended after that. And I was legit shitting my pants at this point. I wanted to get out of there. I also noticed high-pitched noises when I was in the bedroom that came out of nowhere and weren't there beforehand. I paused my music to confirm they were there. There were a bunch of background noises that seemed to multiply as time went on, and the more I rushed to get out of there, the louder they got, and the louder it was for me mentally. Like I wanted to turn my music louder to drown out my own head. As soon as I walked out the front door to my car, it seems as if it all stopped. Everything was fine, my head was quiet. It was like a portal of energy. I knew I had to go back in a few more times to load up the car, and I literally had to catch my breath and find courage to go back in. Sure enough, as soon as I stepped in the house, my head was pounding with noise again. It was like walking into another space entirely, where all of a sudden it was crowded and mentally draining. Since it was an Airbnb, I couldn't just leave the dishes there. When I decided I wasn't going to stay the night there anymore, I compromised with myself and was like, okay, I won't sleep here tonight, but I'll come back tomorrow to do the dishes. But after all that stuff started happening, I knew I didn't want to come back the next day. The dishes were the last trip I made inside, and I literally had to take a breather outside before going back in again, because that's how exhausting it was just to set foot in the house. I finally gather up the courage to do the dishes, and I go into the kitchen, and as I'm starting them, I just start hearing stuff bang around in the laundry room to my right. like as if something fell off the shelf. There was a window in the door, and I honestly felt like someone was watching me back there. I couldn't even look up to see. At my feet, there was stuff happening too, as if the bottom of my jeans were moving, or there were mice running on my boots. I had to check a couple times to see if there was a breeze, or if my jeans were just brushing up against something. Nope, but also, I don't know, maybe I was actually shaking. I have never done dishes so fast. I got out of there ASAP. Some other things happened too that may or may not be me just being paranoid, but I put them in here anyways. When I called my boyfriend to keep me company the first night as I walked to bed, I literally could not turn off the TV. None of the remotes were working. I just told myself to let it go, and as soon as I walked away, the TV shut off. I brushed it off at this point, but looking back, it could be the spirit messing with technology again. The door to the bathroom was on a slope the night before, and it bugged me how it wouldn't stay open as I was moving my toiletries in there. No big deal. But as I was packing to leave, the door was staying open on its own at this point. Nothing in the house was closing after I opened it. I noticed this at first when I was looking for items in the kitchen. One of the drawers literally did not fit what I just pulled it out of. It's an old house, so thought nothing of it. But then it happened to the TV stand. The drawer literally did not fit as I tried to close it. I had to leave it open. It's as if the items grew bigger and wouldn't fit anymore. Even the lockbox would not close correctly, so I couldn't leave the keys in there. I must have messed around with it for a few minutes that morning so I could just use the lockbox instead of carrying the key with me. Small details, but a little weird that they stopped working. My dreams that night were very vivid, even though I didn't get much sleep at all. I did dream about the house and having a party that there were 50 people whom I did not know. My Airbnb host got mad at me in the dream because I didn't tell her and I had to kick out all these strangers from the house. Again, not strange, but also why am I dreaming of a bunch of strangers in the house I'm currently in? I was told a long time ago that if you're ever in a haunted place and don't want to be bothered, you're supposed to imagine a door shutting in your head closes off communication with the other side. I did this the first night when I went to bed and honestly just felt so much better, as if a weight was lifted. It didn't last long, that's for sure, but the fact I felt so much better after doing that was weird. Honestly, some other stuff happened to that did not make this story. Overall, it was creepy as F. The Airbnb was given 5 stars across the board, and all reviews talked about how quaint and cute the place was. Indeed, it's a cute Airbnb in a quiet little town. But honestly, I believe I was the first one to stay the night there alone. I told my Airbnb host that my company sent me back to town for the rest of the week, and I honestly don't care to get my money back. I'd still recommend on Airbnb, but yeah, I personally won't be going back. I googled the town to see if there were ghost stories, and sure enough, the place was littered with them. Apparently, it was built on or near an old Indian burial ground. Yikes! Edit new discoveries. So as I was reevaluating everything, my pictures, videos, story, I was thinking if anything else could have happened to convince me of this story. When I was packing, I had my Spotify going to help me calm down a bit. It was Spotify radio, so really anything in the Spotify world could have played at that point in time. Recognizing now that spirits, especially this one, can screw with technology, I had to evaluate the songs that were playing while in this haste of attempting to leave the house. The next day, I still had my Spotify radio up on that station, so I literally kept backtracking until I found the song that began playing when I first turned it on in the house. Okay, this is where it got creepy. If this won't convince you, I'm not really sure what will. The song that was playing when I took my first video was "Down in the Valley by the Head and the Heart." Look at these lyrics. I wish I was a slave to an age-old trade, like ridden around on rail cars and working long days. I was in a mining town that literally was developed to accommodate the mining company, the employees, and their families. Since single men were forced to stay at a lodge, there was obviously a family that moved in this house specifically to mine. The head of the household was a miner who worked long days on the rail cars. Creepy. Call it one drink too many, call it pride of a man, but it still don't make no difference if you sit or you stand okay. So the spirit is a man with a drinking problem and quite possibly a temper. I know there's California, Oklahoma, and all of the places I ain't ever been in between California and Oklahoma, Arizona. But down in the valley, these are the places you will find me hidden. These are the places I will always go. We were in the Verde Valley, and he's still here to this day, hiding in the valley. There are other questionable lyrics to this song and others that were playing in the background that freak me out. Honestly, each song strings together to tell a full story, but I'll let you make your own assumptions. Here's the full playlist. Work Song by Hozier. This song is about a drunken man who's madly in love with his baby who made a mistake and lost her. When my time comes around, lay me gently in the cold dark earth. No grave can hold my body down. I'll crawl home to her. Little Lion Man by Mumford and Sons. A man who made a mistake and is now heartbroken and lonely. But it was not your fault but mine. I really effed up this time, didn't I, my dear? Or, your grace is wasted in your face. Your boldness stands alone among the wreck. Down in the Valley by the Head and the Heart. Explained above. Ho Hey by the Lumineers. Again, about a man who did wrong and lost his family. So show me family, all the blood that I would bleed. I don't know where I belong. I don't know where I went wrong. Big Jet playing by Angus and Julia Stone. About a man falling in love with a woman and wanting to take her for a ride on a big jet plane. She smelled of daisies. She drive me crazy. Or, gonna hold her, gonna kiss her, gonna take her away from harm. Bygone by Volcano Choir. This one's a little hard to interpret, the lyrics are a little strange. Basically sounds like a man who discovered his wife cheating and could have been mad enough to kill her. Questionable lyrics. Heard you promise me at the north end of monogamy, or heard you scream others' hearts. It's time to up and die, okay creepy. Half Moon by Blind Pilot. This was the last song playing as I stood outside staring at this house. Sounds like a man who left his wife with some pretty questionable lyrics as well that I'm unable to determine did he kill his wife. Let's just say this lyric was the ultimate cherry on top of my truly haunted cake, and was a nice farewell from the spirit. It's not hard to live like a ghost, I just haunt all that I've wanted and leave what I don't. I dreamt a trail up to the sky and my brothers build propellers just to see how far they'd fly. Dead. I'm obviously not a paranormal expert, so really I could be putting thoughts into my own head. But from what I've gathered, the spirit literally told me the everything I need to know. Wow. I think the spirit was messing with me specifically because I was a woman and I was alone. The Airbnb reviews didn't mention anything out of the ordinary, but the people who stayed there were always coupled up or with kids. I think I set the spirit off by being alone and vulnerable. I would also like to make it known that I usually don't listen to Spotify radio, and I usually don't listen to the folks section of Spotify either. When I went for my run that first night, something was very peaceful about that evening. I felt like listening to folk. I also almost got attacked by a stray dog outside the house, although I'm not sure this is related. Maybe the spirit was following me all along. Honestly, I'm completely convinced of this story. And if you're an expert, I'd love to share my pictures and videos with you. Creepy stuff. Update June 15, 2017. The Historical Society in the area confirmed there was a murder in the house in the 1930s, and that at least two people have mentioned activity in the house. I'm a 45-year-old guy, and this happened around 5 years ago. I lived in a small town in Maine, and my house was my favorite thing, a two-story colonial with a porch that goes all the way around and a white picket fence. I had been living there for a few years, and I loved being alone. But when I bought the house, it cost more than I had planned. So from the start, I wanted to rent out a room or two on Airbnb. After I settled in, I made my profile and began renting one of my bedrooms. For the first year, I had lots of guests, and mostly everything went smoothly. there were hardly any issues. But then came one person who changed that. His name was Jack, a young man. At first, he seemed friendly, so I let him stay. Things were okay for some time. Jack was quiet and didn't bother anyone. Then one day, I went into Jack's room to clean, and that's when I saw something strange on the wall. It looked like a small black dot. I looked at it more closely and saw it was a tiny camera hidden in the wall, up in the corner near the ceiling. I was really surprised. How did he do that without me knowing? And what was he doing with all the videos he was recording? It was his room, but he shouldn't have drilled a hole in my wall. I talked to Jack about the camera, and he had the nerve to say he put it there to protect himself. He claimed he was worried about me acting weird and said I should watch my mouth about what I'm saying. How could he say something like that? So I told him to grab his stuff and leave my house right away. For the next few days, I felt like someone was watching me. I felt like Jack might have recorded more without me knowing. I looked everywhere in the house but didn't find anything. I went back to my normal life and kept renting out the room for a few more years. As time went on, I stopped using Airbnb. It wasn't because something terrible happened, but simply because I didn't need the money anymore. Then one day, I got an email from an unfamiliar address. Usually, I just delete emails like that, but this one had a subject line that made me curious. The email said, "Spycam footage thought you might want to see." When I opened it, there was just a link to download something. I instantly remembered Jack in that creepy situation. I didn't want to click it, but I couldn't resist. I downloaded an MP4 file and watched with horror. In the footage, I saw myself moving around the house, entering through the front door, and even sleeping in the middle of the night. It was like watching a normal day of my life all put together. I could see it was from years ago because I'm bald now, but in the video, I had hair. It was clear it was Jack who did it. I got scared again and checked my house for hidden cameras. Then I used the video to figure out where the camera might have been. I discovered a tiny hole in my bedroom which looked like it had been patched up. That's probably where the camera was hidden. Jack must have removed them when he left. I still don't understand why he did it or why he waited so long to send me the video. It was a twisted prank. But why wait all those years to reveal it? I spent a few days alone in the house with someone who's really messed up in the head. I thought I should report this to the police, but since the video footage is quite old, around 4 to 5 years, I don't think they will take it seriously.